Page 46, Chapter 9. The August sun rolled up, hung at mid-heaven for a blinding hour, and at last wheeled westward before the journey was done, but Winnie was exhausted long before that. Miles carried her some of the way. The tops of her cheeks were bright pink with sunburn, her nose a vivid comic red, but she'd been rescued from a more serious broiling by May, who finally insisted that she wear the blue straw hat. He came down far over her ears and gave her a clownish appearance, but the shade from his brim was so welcome that Winnie put vanity aside and dozed gratefully in Miles' strong arms, her own arms wrapped around his neck. Page 47. The pastures, fields, and scrubby groves they crossed were vigorous with bees, and crickets leapt before them as if each step released the spring and flung them up like pebbles. But everything else was motionless, dry as biscuit, on the brink of burning, hoarding final reservoirs of sap, trying to hold out till the rain returned, and Queen Anne's lace lay dusky on the surface of the meadows like foam on a painted sea. It was amazing then to climb a long hill and see ahead another hill, and beyond that the deep green of a scattered pine forest, and as you climbed to feel the air ease and soften. Winnie revived, sniffling, and was able to ride the horse again, perched behind May, and to her oft-repeated question, "Are we almost there?" the welcome answer came at last, "Only a few more minutes now." Page 48. A wide stand of dark pines rose up, loomed nearer, and suddenly Jessie was crying, "We're home! This is it!" Winnie Forster. And he and Miles raced on and disappeared among the trees. The horse followed, turning onto a rutted path, lumpy with roots, and as if it were they had slipped in under a giant colander. The late sun's brilliance could penetrate only in scattered glimmers, and everything was silent and untouched, the ground muffled with moss and sliding needles, the grateful arms of the pine stretched out protectively in every direction, and was cool, blessedly cool and green. The horse picked his way carefully, and then ahead the path dropped down a steep embankment, and beyond that, Winnie, peering around May's bulk, saw a flash of color and a dazzling sparkle. Down the embankment they swayed, and there it was, a plain, homely little house, barn red, and below it the last of the sun flashing on the wrinkled surface of a tiny lake. "Oh, look!" cried Winnie. "Water!" At the same time they heard two enormous splashes, two voices roaring with pleasure. "It don't take them more than a minute to pile into that pond," said May, beaming. "Well, you can't blame a heat like this. You can go in, too, if you want." Then they were at the door of the little house, and Tuck was standing there. "Where's the child?" he demanded, for Winnie was hidden behind his wife. "The boys say you brung along a real honest-to-goodness natural child." "So I did," said May, sliding down off the horse, "and here she is." Page 49. Winnie's shyness returned at once when she saw the big man with the sad face and baggy trousers, but as he gazed at her, the warm, pleasing feeling spread through her again, for Tuck's head tilted to one side, his eyes went soft, and the gentlest smile in the world displaced the melancholy creases of his cheeks. He reached up to lift her from the horse's back, and he said, "There's just no words to tell you how happy I am to see you. It's the finest thing that's happened in—" He interrupted himself, setting Winnie on the ground, and turned to May. "Does she know?" "Course she knows," said May. "That's why I brung her back. Winnie, here's my husband, Angus Tuck. Tuck, meet Winnie Forster." "I do, Winnie Forster," said Tuck, shaking Winnie's hand rather solemnly. "Well, then." He straightened and peered down at her, and Winnie, looking back into his face, saw an expression there that made her feel like an unexpected present wrapped in pretty paper and tied with ribbon, in spite of May's blue hat, which still enveloped her head. "Well, then," Tuck repeated, "seeing you know, I'll go on and say that this is the finest thing that's happened in, oh, at least 80 years."